Gentleman's Hawk coming to you live. It's Thursday night, 7/23/2020. If you're watching the gold, the silver, the platinum, you understand some of the things that are going on behind the scenes financially, all right? When a world gets ready to go to war, when the economies start to break down, when the paper money starts to go bye-bye, or better yet, when the so-called electronic money starts to go bye-bye. And make no mistake, this Bitcoin and all this stuff, this currency, the electronic, do not believe in it. Believe in things you can hold in your hand. Brother Quayle said, in the 90s, if you can't hold in your hand, you don't have it. In terms of supplies or gold or silver or platinum. Oh, I've got futures. I've got stocks. Oh, well, you got it in your hand? No. Well, then you don't have it. If you've got food stacked up on the pallet in your basement or in your shelter, then you got it. If you say, well, I can go down to the grocery store and buy food, then you don't have it. So anyway, I just opened up and I said, Lord, let me open to the right chapter, and here's what I wrote or opened up to in the Bible, the book of Nahum. Chapter 3, woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. The horsemen lifted up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, a great number of carcasses, and they are none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? Art thou better than populous? No, that was situated among the rivers that had the waters round about it, whose rampart was the sea, and her wall was from the sea. Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite. Put and Lubim were thy helpers. Yet was she carried away? She went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets, and then cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. Thou also be drunken. Thou shalt be hid. Thou shalt seek strength because of the enemy. All thy strongholds shall be the fig trees with the fair striped figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. The fire shall envelop thy bars. Draw the waters for the siege. Fortify thy strongholds. Go into clay and tread the mortar. Make strong the brick kiln. There shall the fire devour thee. The sword shall cut thee off and shall eat thee up like the canker worm, and make thyself many as the cankerworm, make thyself many as the locusts. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. The cankerworm spoileth and fleeth away. Thy crown are the locusts, and thy captains are the great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in a cold day. But when the sun ariseth, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. The shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth them. There is no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the brute of these shall clap the hands over thee. For upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually? And when I read that, I immediately was thinking about Portland and Seattle and Chicago and different places, you know. And I'll tell you, it's just, this thing is getting so wild, and it's getting ready to continue. And I'll tell you, I don't know if I've ever told you a story. One time I was in Cancun. It was probably about 87. I'm going to talk to you about something. And normally I would not say anything other than just to generally I've said, one riot, one ranger. That's what they used to say. And then I've also maybe said on air, you know, the reason they call a shotgun a riot gun is because that's what they used to use at a riot. And here's how they handled a riot in Cancun, Mexico, that I actually saw sometime in 87. I was in one of the old green cabs, which used to be there, and they were, the green cab company was owned by one of the 36 familias in Mexico, okay? One of the rich families owned all those green cabs, and that's the way you got around in Cancun, because the autobus was not very good in those days. It used to break down. As a matter of fact, that's what the construction workers used to take, was the old autobus, but you would see it sitting by the side of the road, the autobus, for those who don't speak Spanish. And but be that as it may, all of a sudden I heard on the radio, and I can speak a little Spanish, and I heard it, and it was like a yeah call. And then all of a sudden, all the cabs started zooming towards where? La Punta Plaza Caracol, near La Punta in Cancun. And they were at this spot. We came up to a spot, and we couldn't go any further because we were blocked by military jeeps and vehicles and stuff. But you could still see up in there, and you could see that there was probably 100 or 200 of the green cab drivers who did not have fares but were out there, and they had tire irons and chains and stuff, and they were fighting with the construction workers, the Maya construction workers, who were on a hotel site. Apparently, it was a Friday night or Friday afternoon, and they were trying to negotiate a regular price instead of a tourista price for them to be taken home so they didn't take the autobus, okay, so they could get home more quickly to their families. Well, they got in an argument, and they started a fight. All the construction workers came down off the hotel, and then the cab drivers put the call in, and they started fighting like cats and dogs, man, out in the middle of Plaza Caracol by the high-end shopping mall. And I always remember, because when you went in the front door, there was a picture of Paloma Picasso, you know? It was right there, and there was like a picture of her in the inside of that mall. And it was right there by a couple, two or three big hotels and all the stuff at La Punta, the point. The point of the seven, okay? Where the small bar connects to the big longer bar. Anyway. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden a guy comes up in a Jeep. Mexican, colonel or generale. I think it was a coronel, okay? And he had the mirror shades on. He was a short Mayan guy. He had high boots up to the knees, all right, like riding boots, like he'd been riding. He had those jodhpur kind of like pants and stuff on, those that the military used to wear in a lot of cases. And he got off that thing, and he had some of his soldados with him, you know, the sergeants, the capitans, and all the stuff. And he stuck his hand out, and he's got the mirror shades, and he's watching this tableau of Los Indios de la Construccion versus Los Cabbies of the Green Cabs, the Verde Cabs, and he's seeing them all fighting out there, and they're going to it. I mean, they're laying people out with two-by-fours and hammers and tire chains and or tire irons and chains and all kind of stuff going at it. And, I mean, a big fight. And he holds his right hand out, and the sergeant or the capitan or the sergeant hands him a Thompson submachine gun. He cocks that sucker. He takes it at the angle, and he goes, and goes on the angle and does the diagonal deal with it and hits the first and second row with the full clip, man, with the full magazine. Not with the round one, but the straight stick mag, so that was about 30 rounds. And he laid, I mean, I'm sitting there, you know, 30, 40 feet back of that, watching this, and all of a sudden you start to see the people drop like crazy, all right? And after he does that, they then put on the loudspeaker, Levantase, Levantase, lay down, and then no se muevan, okay? And then they packed them all up, put them in the trucks with the zip ties on their hands, all right? They had the trucks come in, take them out to the Army base outside of town, apparently, and then they got the hoses from the fire department. They washed off the blood off the streets and all the crap and cleaned up all the mess, and it was, yeah, 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 da-da-da-da-da-da, okay? And there was hardly anything in the newspaper the next day. But the fact of the matter is they put the entire riot down with one magazine of 45 caliber slugs fired from a Thompson submachine gun. But they didn't use rubber bullets or bean bags or any kind of thing like that. And had they gone in hand to hand, they would have gone in with big, nice nightsticks, okay, longer sticks. If it would be the old-time guys, and they would have whacked and whacked and whacked on people. And when you break somebody's arm, they don't come back to the Portland festivities the next day. You break their head, you might have them in the hospital a few days with a bandage around it, all right? And if you used a riot gun or two, then you'll clear that plaza real quick, toot sweet. Now, that's the way they used to do it. Now, which one is more cruel? Is it more cruel to go for 53 days and let these guys destroy a courthouse or a city hall or an whole street and to terrorize all the people, or like a Chop or a Chaz or a Hookaduka take over a whole entire business district and then start killing people, and anybody walks in there, they beat them if they got a red hat on, even if it's not a Trump hat? So which is more cruel, to imprison like business people and the people who live there and then grind them for cash for all these Antipas and BLM, Marxist, commie, demonic, Luciferian rats? Which is more cruel, to end it quick, go brrrr, or to play games with them? Well, I'm going to tell you what. Maybe playing the game is part of the game. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, you could decisively end some of this crap real quick. And I compare a lot of the stuff in Grant Park when they took out the cops in Chicago the other day. Hurt them bad. Hurt some of them bad in Portland, the Bortec guys. I did see about five guys gang up on a Bortec guy and throw him to the ground. They're whipping on him. But I did see the Bortec guy, the Bortec Border Tactical Squad of the, you know, U.S. Border Patrol, who are protecting the thing in Portland. I did see him go to the down fighter stance. And my old Warren Soul Drive buddies and a few others would know what that down fighter stance is. I always remember when I was taking a class with Colonel Bo Greitz and his son Jimmy, who was a ranger as well and very good at martial arts. And I remember in the class that Bo threw Jimmy to the ground and then started to charge him, and Jimmy went into the down fighter stance, and they talked about how to fight yourself up from that position. But be that as it may, we're headed down the road here in a situation that without perhaps a full-blown martial law, and if you do that, then you got the civil war on both sides. Because it doesn't end there. And I'm going to tell you what I'm talking to you about is the ensnarement, the entanglement, the incredible dovetailing of all the pieces to this mess and puzzle. And I'm telling you, it has to be created by the artificial intelligence with the Luciferian precision. Lucifer has a precision and a scientific basis to his evil. He was one of the most powerful angels, you see. And then the angels know about the secrets of how you, the Lord, our Father in heaven, built the universe because they helped participate with him in it to create the heaven and the earth and all the different things. So they know and have knowledge of stuff, but then the precision of entanglement of all these things that brings to bear the most, what was it Albert Pike called it? What did he call it? Let's see. We shall unleash the nihilist and the atheist, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effects of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil. All right? Well, we're starting to see the most bloody turmoil. So at what point do you throw it down? At what point do you stop allowing ISIS to be ISIS? Now, at the same thing, at the other time here, we have Red China. And they're forcing them to get out of the consulate in Houston. And I did want to comment on that as well, because I'm telling you, I've been talking to you about the Red Chinese are the ones that were hitting and setting the fires and the explosions of the chemical plants and refineries down around Houston in the past year or two, and a whole lot of other things, with also the Russian Spetsnaz involved prior to that doing a bunch of others. But the Red Chinese were running their whole intelligence operation, or a lot of it, out of Houston. And why? Because it's a great port city, and then it also gives them the ability to go into what? Into the oil, natural gas, and all of the technologies of refining and all of that. But also it puts them in the bailiwick of the Arbusto clan. And the Arbustos, if you recall, look up Arbusto and see what the English translation for Arbusto is. And also, you see, the Arbustos were involved in being the first. When Nixon opened up, the first ambassador was an Arbusto, wasn't it, to Red China. So if you're New World Order and you're going to use the Red Chinese involved in some of that, and then since Nixon opened it, which is about whatever number of years ago, the Red Chinese back then had about 30% of the size of the GDP that we did. That was it. Now, they're just right behind us. And they were ready and scheduled to pass us. And then with their involvement as well with the New World Order, or as a tool of the New World Order, then they were getting ready, if you recall, because we talked about it, and Doc Jack from North Carolina was used to talk to me about the renminbi and the yuan. And then I've also known about that prior to that, that all of that was getting ready to then become the new reserve currency for the world. Reserve currency was going to be the renminbi. because the Red Chinese were going to use their gold possessions, their gold and stockpiles of it that's off the books, a lot of it, because a lot of it's existed from time immemorial, piled up in warehouses and caves and stuff. And the old time, the old school people on the listening to me here would remember when I used to talk about China Joe. And being in the trade of the gold and the silver. And talk about seeing pictures of whole pallets full of bars and stuff sitting in warehouses. But there's ancient gold that the Chinese have. I also remembered that from the, you know, the 90s on, they were sending their attorneys, U.S. attorneys, all kind of different people that they hired, their factors and factor factotums, to go into all these different big bullion dealerships, you know, all over the country, wherever it might be, guys who sell a lot of, you know, gold, silver, coins, all that kind of stuff. And they would go in there, drive up, like pull up in a place in Dallas and say, how much physical silver and gold do you have in the store? And how much do you want for it? The guy said, what? What are you talking about? They said, no, we want to know how much you have right now. And we'll, what price do you want for it? In cash. And the guy would say, whoop, 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 whoop. Well, and he'd put a big premium on it and all that. They'd say, well, it's X number of millions of dollars. And they said, fine, we'll go out to the car. They go out, bring in a Zero Halliburton attaché or briefcase, suitcase, open it up. There's the cash. Then they said, you know, we're going to send a trucks around to pick this stuff up in about 15 minutes. And then we'll transfer this cash to you once the trucks are loaded. And that's the way they were buying gold and silver. Then when Trump came in, he scared them a little bit. Or maybe they thought they could manipulate him or whatever it is they thought. But they got backed off of doing that. Because he was hardcore talking about going after him. And now we're at the point, ladies and gentlemen, where you got a spy shop and all the hackers and all the people. And they're not only down there in Houston doing all that, but they've been blowing those refineries, just like I told you. Remember I would say it was tit for tat, and then I would tell you that one blew in the Houston area, one of the chemical plants or the plastics factories or one of the different things that were always being burnt up. And then I said, oh, one just blew up over in China. Well, old Hawk was right on the money all the time. There's all kinds of these people inside. The spies are there. And then I told you the other day about the guy they caught in L.A., the FBI people, who was supposedly a microbiologist. And he lied about it on his paperwork how to get in here. And he was trying to leave L.A., with something. I said, that's the guy that probably planted the new strain of virus, or perhaps a new virus or bug that's getting ready to born and take off here pretty quick. And then now what are we looking at in San Francisco at the consulate of the Red Chinese? They're hiding a biologist, right? Who is a Communist Party or the People's Liberation Army biologist, who came in and said, oh, she's like a graduate student or something, you know, blah, 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 you know. They've been stealing all this stuff. Oh, you go ahead. I clean the lab up tonight. I'd be a very good graduate student for you. Oh, yes, yes. And then bingo. Of course, they would grab and get all the stuff in the lab and take samples, get the research, get into the computers, download all the stuff, and so they're trying to get all of it. But then Dr. Fauci, who's going to throw out the ball tonight at the Washington, because see, the Washington Nationals, or they used to call them the Senators, I liked them when Ted Williams played for them for a little bit at the end, but I'm telling you that they didn't want Trump to come. Remember when they didn't want him down there doing any kind of thing. They hated Trump. So they're having little old Dr. Fauci, Roy. And I hope he bounces one, lobs it up there, and bounces it three or four times up to the deal. I think, Lori Lightfoot and Fauci Light and the Lopers may be very close to being the same thing, all right? And he's the one that gave allegedly $3.7 million to the red Chinese scientist from the Wuhan lab of the PLA, Communist Party Wuhan lab. And that alleged that's where the grafting of the HIV components onto this SARS coronavirus or whatever to create coronavirus 2 to make it easier to catch. No wonder everybody's catching it. And then I'm going to point something else out. A lot of people talking about the 5G. Do you remember I had a source and I told you about on air months ago? Somebody who said, you know, I was in Wuhan when they turned the 5G on. And after they turned the 5G on, and I was observing things in Wuhan at the time, and this person told me that the air, like, electrified it. You could feel it. And then I will go back and tell you again and again and again, you see. Now, apparently, the NIH says that the 5G can create a coronavirus in the cell. Well, Dr. Raymond Wright, a gajillion years ago in the history of this country, not a gajillion, but a number of years back, Royal Raymond Wright, he talked about the diseases having frequencies. You got Dr. Leonard Horowitz, who talks about frequencies of diseases and that kind of thing, and also the healing frequencies. I've also told you from inside dark, deep background sources about what, this is a year or two ago, what they were calling the stuff where they used the scalar weapon to create a disease. Back then it was called satellite-directed. In other words, the satellites themselves can pick you out, direct a beam down to you, all right, or to an area of a city, or, a subdivision or a portion of a state or whatever it is you want to do. But satellite-directed generation of scalar energy frequencies to impact the neurophysiological template. Well, you are a neurophysiological template. So they can give you stuff. All right? You go back and look at the Angels Don't Play This Harp, Dr. Nick Begich. And I sat for hours and talked to Dr. Nick Begich. I remember when he had the Flanagan neurophone, and you could put the neurophone, like, on your shoulder, okay? And all of a sudden, you couldn't hear any noise or any music or any kind of a thing, but you put that thing laying down on your shoulder or your neck or whatever, and then all of a sudden you were starting to hear it in your head because it went through the nerves. And it was amazing because even some people with some deafness, they were using that Flanagan neurophone, which was invented by Flanagan. At the time, Nick Begich was working with him, although they later fell out from each other, apparently. But I talked to Dr. Nick about all of that. I talked to him all about the HARP. You look into the HARP High Altitude Auroral Research Project patents, and you look at that. You look at all of the stuff, if you go... BibliotechPleiades.net, BibliotechPleiades.net, scalar_tech, all right? But if you look up weaponization of scalar weapons, that kind of stuff, and you get into a whole bunch of information about Tesla and all of that kind of stuff. Tesla howitzers, weather control, Dr. Tom Bearden, all kind of things like that. And here's one that I remember telling you about, the Navarre Beach helicopters, and people say, well, they don't have any of that stuff, Buck. Electromagnetic weapon, blah, blah, blah. You said those helicopters. Well, here. Dr. Tom Bearden describes the use of the howitzer in a mind-snapping mode against people to cause unconsciousness or death. The mind snapper at a high level would so disrupt the mind-body connection that everyone in the target area would fall down instantly dead. Not only that, everyone around you and inside, you would be killed so that your sterilized body could not rot for quite a long time. The mind snapper can be used for a small area or kill an entire population. In fact, using the scalar waves to affect the human mind has become a new field in its own right and has been dubbed psychoenergetics. Then Bearden goes on to say that the same bazooka size, here it is, I just saw this and I remembered it before, but I told you that there was a portable weapon, didn't I? Bazooka size scalar EM pulse weapon can also be used to knock out a tank with one shot or pulse, and so tank warfare is obsolete. Helicopters, Bearden points out that if a person has it, is attacked by a helicopter or fixed-wing aircraft, he can bring the same weapon, a bazooka-sized weapon, to bear on it, and he can knock down a chopper or a jet with one shot. You remember when the USS Davis was in the Black Sea, and one Sukhoi or MiG went over it and knocked the whole thing out? You remember when the choppers were there at Navarre Beach, the two helos, and there was as if a green fog? Remember the eyewitness said that? And the one chopper was able to pull out of it with full power and pulled out on a big turn, and the other one got caught up and couldn't get out of it, and that chopper went down. You remember the F-16s coming out of South Carolina, falling into the Georgia timber on missions, all the different stuff. So all this stuff is getting ready to come to the fore. And we're going to have war. There's going to be war, I believe, with China, and it also will be with Russia, and it'll be with Iran, okay? And also North Korea and a few others. And the Gog-Magog War is starting up, but it's starting up in a way such that it may not be quite evident that it's exactly like Ezekiel 38:39. But if you look, the players are all involved. But then at some point, let's say if Turkey becomes the head caliphate, the head Muslim caliphate, like they used to be, takes over Assyria or that kind of stuff, or the Libya, or the Egypt, whatever happens, at some point, they then just turn on Israel, all right? So I'm telling you, this is going on. And I'm talking about a lot of things that are all threaded through what is the current scenario, all right? And you have to look at them as a total picture. Now, I wanted to go in here real quick about viruses and that kind of stuff. And this was out of the book, Dr. Cass Ingram, I-N-G-R-A-M's, Life-Saving Cures, How to Use the Latest and Most Powerful Natural Cures for the 21st Century. Dr. Cass Ingram. And it was out of Knowledge House, P.O. Box 4885, Buffalo Grove, Illinois. That's where Dr. Cass Ingram lived. You can still probably get this book. Dr. Cass Ingram's Life-Saving Cures, How to Use the latest and most powerful natural cures for the 21st century. And there's a section on oregano, okay? And even going way, way back, a researcher named Cavell stumbled onto the plant kingdom. He was looking for germ-killing substances, and he said the most powerful one was the oil of oregano, was among the most powerful, completely sterilizing the water that he put into it, sewage water, and also beef broth to stimulate growth, that he completely sterilized the water in a 1% concentration. Other powerful antiseptics included oil of orange, lemongrass, cinnamon, and clove, as well as lavender, cumin, and rosemary. But it took nearly 6 times the amount of synthetic germicides to equal the power of wild oregano oil. Now, Cavell's work, I'm skipping down here, is corroborated by modern research. Now, listen to this. In 1998, microbiologist Daniel Fung and colleagues at Kansas State University discovered that oregano impedes the growth of E. coli, preventing it from infecting the body. Another called Siddiqui found in the Medical Science Research in 1996 that oil of oregano was so powerful against viruses that it caused disintegration, which was observed under the electron microscope. The respected Cornell University then proved that oregano, even as a spice, killed all 30 organisms against which it was tested, including E. coli and Salmonella. Then he goes into the fact that the Bible, the wild oregano that's in the Mediterranean areas in the higher altitudes, not the Mexican or the Spanish type, but the was called the hyssop. Hyssop in the Bible. Now listen here, I'm just going to skip over here real quick. In summary, the properties of oil of oregano proven by modern research include destruction of all molds and fungi, disintegration, listen to this, disintegration of RNA and DNA viruses. Oh, it's not SARS or Corona or COVID or whatever, possibly an RNA or DNA virus. And it says disintegration of RNA DNA viruses, including herpes viruses. Inhibition of bacterial growth, including staph, strep, and E. coli. Destruction of the parasite Giardia lamblia. Destruction of mold spores in the air. Halting of the growth and or destruction of skin fungi. Increasing the output of bile. Reversing pain and inflammation. And improving the detoxification capacities of the liver. But that has been done using the wild oregano from the deep Mediterranean. Now, Dr. Cass Ingram sells some, and you want a high carbacol. P73 is his. It's made by North American Herbs and Spices. That's a 73% carbacol active ingredient. Whole Foods has got a 70% carbacol with the wild oregano. So do you think that you might want some of this for the future? I think you should. That was one little thing to say here. Now, just incredible what's going on. We're looking at satellites being, weapons being tested. We're looking at all the stuff going on. We're looking how today I heard that the Chinese in Houston and various places have been directly involved or, you know, from the behind the scenes involved with a lot of the Antifa and BLM and anarchist and Marxist, communist, Luciferian scumbag rioters. They've been preparing them, probably giving them money. Soros gives them money. And allegedly Soros fronts for, allegedly, Rothschild money. allegedly. So, you look at also Chicago, there's a consulate in Chicago. And there used to be one in Kansas City, as far as I remember. A while back, anyway. But that's when the grain pits were, the grain trading was, a lot of grain trading was done here. But in Chicago, you got Lori lighting the loper's foot, got the big red star on her mask. Now, ostensibly, that's one of those red stars out of the Chicago flag. But it's also a key to tell you that she's with the communists. She's a red star, all right? Same way with the Seattle and the Washington State governor and the Seattle mayor, and same way with the Portland mayor. And all these people are, you know, Luciferian commie demon rats, okay? You remember they even had the Statue of Lenin in the park there in Seattle. Yet there's real good people in Washington State, but I'm going to tell you, they're not represented by the government. The Oregonians are not represented completely by their government. So to wit, what's going on? Well, we got gun sales are up 95%. That's a pretty good increase. Talked to you in the last couple weeks about going to look. I was told to go and look, and there hardly wasn't anything available. And then ammo sales up 139%. And I would bet you that there's less here now than there was 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to tell you what. You better go ahead and buy, if you do not have them, or even if you do have them, get additional rifles, additional shotguns, additional pistols and revolvers. Try to get them of the main caliber so you can do it. Now, I have seen still a little bit more online that there is 30-06 ammo and 30-06 bolt-action rifles are still around. Well, that was a good caliber. It was the M1 caliber, wasn't it? But if you can get a hold of a .223 rifle or whatever, if you can't, try and get like a .22 long rifle, you know, rimfire, .22 LR, you know, and get a scope and get good with it. Ruger 10/22 or a whatever, because that will, you can still nail somebody, not out as far, but if you got good hiding skills and you pop up from a spider hole and you can do a headshot, well, you put a .22 through the brain pan, through an eyeball, and you might just get somewhere. Now, I'm not advocating violence, but I do strongly advocate that you don't go into a Luciferian night without a fight, and you don't let anybody run over you, and that you defend yourself and your family and your home or your cabin at the lake or your bug-out location or your vehicle. Or whatever it is. You don't have to allow that. That's what we have. The right to bear arms and to protect ourselves against attack. So when the time comes, don't get caught watching the paint dry. If they come to punch you, then counterpunch. Defend yourself, but you're going to have it. And you're going to have food. Now, let me tell you, I talked to you, we've talked, and Brother Quayle's got a good article up here, I believe, on his site today, stevequayle.com. And incidentally, go up there and take advantage of all of the information he's got that you can get. If you get the Ancient Cataclysms and Coming Catastrophes, the DVD, or the video on demand, get that. The Cascadia, the big one. You can get the DVD. And I recommend you take the DVD and don't stay online. Go ahead and get the physical thing. You can also subscribe to Steve Quayle's podcast, Q-Files 2.0, Exploring the Universe of Q-Files, by subscription. Get that. You can also, if you got $1,000 or more to spend, Steve says, if you got $1,000 or less, he says, buy food and other preps. He's always said that. But here's the deal. Let's see if I can find that. I don't find the article. I thought I had the article right up there. Okay, let me just skip to something else here. Let's see what I was trying to say. There was an article up there, I thought. But anyway, and maybe it's just down farther. Let me take a look down farther. Well, anyway, we're talking about the different things, but the war... Oh, I know what it is. It's the locust. Maybe it was up there yesterday. The locust plague, and I heard from somebody who goes out somewhere near Lawrence, Kansas, to an organic area, farm area, and they buy the whole milk from the farmer because it's real good, and it's very clean, and it's a good operation, and they buy the whole milk to make sure that they get the right good stuff rather than the, you know, the pasteurized this, that, and the other, you know, other milks. So in talking with that producer of that whole milk, the organic guy, he was saying a week or two ago that already that the locusts were being talked about as very near to the U.S. border with Mexico. And now they're starting to say, yeah, they're coming up to Guatemala. They come up from South America. They're in South America. They've been in Africa. They've been all throughout the Middle East. They're going into China. These are the biblical locusts that eat everything. So you're going to need food. And once they're gone, you're going to need seeds and things, which are very tricky and hard to find this year if you haven't been saving seeds over the years, or buying extra. I've always tried to buy a little bit extra and keep them in a nice, dry, cool place. On a shelf in the, you know, a lower level or something in the basement where it's cooler. So I keep them there to store them, and they can be used down the road. And I try to get the non-hybrid, you know, more natural seeds, you know. And keep all of that. So the food is going to become important because I think we're going to start to see the locusts move across the border. So you got the locusts, you got the COVID, and did the Chinese have a whole group of spies in Houston that maybe, where is all of the outbreak, the big outbreak from Florida all across the Gulf Coast, right? And up into Georgia a little bit and what have you. And there's a lot of military bases all down through there too, isn't there? And so they've gone all through it and up and all through Texas and then out to California. But it's wrapped around in that. So then you got the consulate in San Francisco. Got the consulate in Houston. Consulate in Chicago, and you got all this stuff going on. And we've got all these new cases just pop out of the woodwork. And yet, my deep background guy said prior to the Wuhan getting wild, and they turned that Wuhan 5G on, I believe, in October at the end of the military games, and that would have been when the so-called COVID or, you know, SARS-2 or coronavirus-2 was polecat bit the bat bit the polecat, bit the human, whatever. It was released from the Wuhan lab And Dr. Fauci allegedly and the NIH had given a $3.7 million grant because they had to move it from the lab in the United States to move it to Wuhan, China. And then somebody in the New World Order said, let's let China go first. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it just ticks me off. And now you got little Lord Fauci Roy's going to throw out the baseball to the Washington Senators wannabes, okay? The Nationals. I'll tell you what. All of this stuff is just going to get wild, and I'm going to tell you again, again, and again. Methodically prepare from lists. Methodically prepare from lists. To get ready for what is going to come down the pike. And you're going to have to be ready. You're going to have to be ready, ladies and gentlemen, because this stuff is not going away. Not going away. And let me just tell you right here, let's see what we got here. I will remind you to go up to standeo.com and go to Holly's lists about food and that kind of stuff. And she has the lists of what foods to save, how much that she used to utilize prior to doing her Dare to Prepare books, which I think Holly Dale was on the Dare to Prepare, I think maybe the fifth or sixth edition of that. But 100 items, you know, that you're going to need or want, 40 dirt cheap items for preparation, 200 items. And then Holly's got all that information up in there. And then she's got lists for medical and all kind of stuff. And my old Malibu SS buddy is using the list to prepare at this point in time. Like 100 items to disappear first. Okay. Generators, water filters, purifiers, portable toilets, seasoned firewood, lamp oil, wicks, lamps, Biclear oil, Coleman fuel, guns, ammunition, pepper spray, knives, clubs, bats, slingshots, hand can openers, hand egg beaters, whisks, honey syrups, white, brown sugar, rice, beans, wheat, vegetable oil for cooking, charcoal, lighter fluid, water containers, mini heater like propane, the mini heater head, a grain grinder, non-electric, propane cylinders. Incidentally, if you haven't bought your propane for the year and you live in a cold climate, you depend on it, you better buy up while you can because there's going to be a shortage of it. If you don't do that, I would also tell you probably to get some extra cylinders. But when you do them, buy them one at a time from these things and get the new ones, because if you go to fill your old ones, they're going to look at you and try to figure out if you're a wild terrorist. You just say no. We take the Boy Scouts to camp down at the lake, and we have about 5-6 barbecue grills. Survival guidebooks, mantles, Aladdin, Coleman lanterns, etc., Dietz lanterns, baby supplies, diapers, formula, washboards, mop bucket with ringer for laundry, cook stoves, propane, Coleman, kerosene, vitamins, toilet paper, gasoline containers, aluminum foil, bow saws, axes, hatches, weds, homing oil, thermal underwear, tuna fish and oil, fire extinguishers, large boxes of baking soda in every room, first aid kits, batteries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. 100 items that disappear first, okay? Just all kind of stuff that you can get into on this thing. But I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, you can also look up 200 items you can barter after the collapse, all right? And all of that stuff will be extremely good to have at the ready. But you better go and you better get ammunition any way you can. Get any kind of a, you know, of a, shotgun, and I haven't seen the pump shotguns at all. Somebody says I got clipped at 38 minutes into the show. I don't know if I'm still on. I think I'm still on. I believe I am. So anyway, there's all kind of things happening. I think they could turn this stuff on. I think also that a lot of people are getting letters saying that you've tested positive for the disease of COVID, and they never ever have had the test. So how do you do that? Well, I heard from several people in different states. One, somebody in Florida told me that they knew a couple people. One of them went to go get tested, and they were in the driving lane, you know, the lanes where you're waiting to go up to get the thing stuck down your nose or whatever. And they saw signs, and they said you should only get tested if you have symptoms. So at the next turnoff or cutoff, and there was these huge lines, they turned off and left, and they never got the test. But their cell phone was in the area. So they're beaming it in, and they're tracking your cell phone. And then if you were in there, then automatically you're tested up. So that's all baloney and BS. Let me tell you. We got the big quakes up off of Alaska in Nevada. Don't go into their Luciferian knives without a fight. Mighty men and women powder, use your high tech to strike blows against the Luciferian. If you can't, keep old Hawk in the game. Fandango Rangers, I know you're ready at old Mickey LaPua. Stay on that optics, baby. Squeeze that trigger, don't jerk it. To my old Warren Soul Drive buddies and little Rico and Nico. May the Lord Jesus protect you against all evil and stand you up and use you where he needs you most in the line to stand against evil. Prepare, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Good night.